Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. Thank you so much for all your engagement with this show. And thank you for all your comments. And if you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe. You're going to love today's conversation because a little bit later, I'm bringing on Ishmael Perez. He's the author of Our Cosmic Origin, and he is a cosmic ambassador, galactic historian, and starseed. And if you love today's conversation, then you'll love many more. This is your genre. The Dare to Dream podcast won the COV Award for the best podcast and radio show. Welp magazine listed Dare to Dream as one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year. We are a top self-improvement podcast on Apple Podcasts, nominated for two People's Choice Podcast Awards and a Webby Award. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane Here and Excess Consciousness. They do energy work out into the world. So if you would like to go to a class or become a facilitator, go to accessconsciousness.com or Dr. Dane, D-A-I-N, Here, H-E-E-R.com. I'm Debbie Dashinger. I am a book writing coach who shows spiritual messengers the steps to write a highly engaging page-turner book. I also have a company that turns your book into a guaranteed international bestseller, and I do all the heavy lifting for you. And the third piece that I do, I am a publicist for just a few hand-select clients. And because I've been in this business for over 16 years on radio and podcast, I also do webinars now and then that teach you spiritual messengers how to be interviewed on radio and podcast and get massive results. If you would like to attend my next webinar for free, go to debbiedashinger.com/gift. Remember the spelling. It is debbiedashinger.com/gift. My guest, Ishmael Perez, a cosmic ambassador representing an intergalactic alliance known as the Covenant of Palador. It is a cosmic treaty that was initiated by the forces of light in the higher dimensions to protect and guard the Earth from the Draco forces. The majority of starseeds who have volunteered for the call to rescue this planet, including Ishmael, have been selected to come here and help. He is one of the inner council members who is here to bring forth the next level of cosmic disclosure that will restore Earth back to its original glory in fulfillment of the galactic prophecies. The information that Ishmael brings forth has never been heard of before on this planet. He is also one of the elite super soldiers that is involved in the cosmic war, mainly to fight the evil AI. This is the off-the-records group that is known as the Radiant Guardians. The Radiant Guardians work with higher dimensional beings beyond the Galactic Federation. If interested, you can follow Ishmael on Instagram. Go to Project Restoration Zion 1, and his website is OurCosmicOrigin.com. And with that, I welcome Ishmael to Dare to Dream. It is so great to have you. Welcome to the show. Ah, you're muted, my love.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive deep with you. Everything, I just want to hold up your book for folks to see who are interested in this. It is available on Amazon. And so there's that. And then we also have a mutual friend. And so she's dropped little seedlings to me about you that have piqued my interest. And so let's just start with your book. Why did it take you 10 years to write this book, Our Cosmic Origin? That's a long time.
Well, primarily because I was balancing life between being a father, being a husband, and also doing my spiritual work at the same time. Dealing with a 9 to 5 daytime job and then coming home to work on my kids' homework, or at least help them with their homework, and then at night I would write. So that's probably the main reason. The second reason was also because I would only write when I was inspired, when I felt those downloads coming through. And when I didn't feel those downloads coming through, I would put the manuscript down for a few months, and then as I got that inspiration or those downloads that were coming through, I would, resume the writing. And so that's why it probably took me, a little over 10 years to be exact. But this is the thing. I actually finished the manuscript back in 2016. It was completed. And they kept telling me that the collective consciousness of humanity was not ready for this type of information, that there still needed to be some more, lower level disclosures, or some more intel revealed to the masses by other people that would allow people to understand the information in my book. Otherwise, it would just seem to them, it would just seem to appear as sci-fi, without understanding other information. So that's why my manuscript just sat there for about 5 years, and until I 19 no 2020. In 2020, that's when the galactics informed me, due to what happened with the planned, can I say it here, planned,
Absolutely. Well,
okay.
somewhat. I hate to say this, but YouTube is pretty funky if you know
Okay.
what goes on there. So, yeah, we'll just ameliorate it a little bit. But I know what you're saying, and I think everybody out there does.
Yeah, since the 2000, since the end of 2019, since they rolled out, you know what I mean? I think that's what allowed people to really begin to do their research, because they were stuck at home. And I think that really forced people to really go within, or at least, do some research. And I think that is what initiated this huge awakening that is, still in full force since early 2020. And that's when the higher ups told me, Ishmael, it's time for people to understand the galactic history of the Earth, Earth's place in the organization of the multiverse, and the 12 major creations, and how we're part of the 12 creation, and much more, of course. So it is a book that is dense with a lot of cosmic information. It is an integration of cutting-edge science through quantum physics, that is revealing a whole new different level of our reality. Integrating it with ancient manuscripts or ancient knowledge that was supposed to be omitted from history, but I was able to access some of these manuscripts that are no longer in circulation. And then, of course, it's also integrating the accurate information disclosed in the Urantia material, which is just the cosmology aspect of things, and then the galactic history, mainly from just my downloads, and then, of course, doing research as far as like the suppressed data that has been kind of been omitted from history, but I had access to it. They call it the Akashic Record, so that's how the galactic history came about. And so what I did in this book is I put everything together in perspective, in terms of like revealing the bigger picture, not just the fact that we're not alone in the universe, that ETs live among us. I also reveal the true history of Nibiru, how it all began, the Anunnaki, the real untold story of the Anunnaki, which is a very controversial subject nowadays. But, the Sumerian tablets only give us just a general understanding regarding their presence on the earth, but they don't reveal the history of Nibiru going back to millions of years, how it all began in Sirius. So what I do in my book is I put everything into perspective so that way people have a clear understanding of the galactic and cosmic history of Earth in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. And so you mentioned downloads, Ishmael. So these were downloads, or you were channeling?
I don't, I think, because they were just downstreaming information into my head. So it could have been channeling. I'm not sure. It was during meditation. Like I would go into these deep meditations, and all of a sudden, I would receive a downstream data dumps, I call them, downstream of information. And then that's when I would just write this information down. But I would also do the research to back it up. I would also see if there was others out there who have, you know, were kind of getting the same intel. And to an extent they were, but not to the degree that I reveal it in my book. I mean, I go into detail in my book. But yeah, I would call it more downstreaming. I don't know about channeling. I think channeling is different than getting, you know, downloads or data dumps.
And do you know what your galactic lineage is? The inception of your soul and the various planets, galaxies you've lived on, the beings you've been?
Well, I've been in every universe. I did an Akashic Record reading recently, and I've come to discover that I originated during the first creation, which goes back to 998 billion years ago, during the first universe. I actually emanated from an already existing realm that was considered eternity. So I go way back. I'm one of a few ancient souls on the planet. You know, there's others also like myself that come from, that stemmed from the beginning of time before the universes were created, or what we call in the higher dimensions, the experiments in time and space. So that's where I originated. And I had lifetimes in many universes. But to narrow it down to this particular universe, the primary race that I incarnated in was a feline race in the system of Vega, in the constellation of Lyra, on a planet called Avion, and that is spelled A-V-Y-O-N. And to my discovery, it turns out that this Earth is the third dimensional version of Avion and Lyra. So I know it sounds kind of weird, right? What do you mean planets reincarnate? Yes, they do. So that's where I originated from, is Lyra.
That is so cool. Thank you for sharing that. And I totally resonate. Me too. I look like a lion. And absolutely with the Lyra and the inception, although this is a much more difficult planet to live on. I think Lyra was an incredibly loving, creative place. And of course, we were very innocent. We didn't know that the Dracos were coming and how awful they were going to be. And when you talk about you're in the inception and the billions of years ago. So is that even beyond Elohim, or is that somewhere around the same time?
Well, everything originated, all the universes. First of all, when scientists say that our universe came from nothing, that's utter disinformation. It's not correct. Every universe comes from an already prior existing creation that had already existed prior to that universe. And so if we go back to the beginning, before the, what I call in my book, the Great Immaculate Conception, which was when the one decided to explore more of itself, everything stems from the realms of eternity. And the realms of eternity, which have always existed, is exactly what the esoteric knowledge calls the celestial spheres. The celestial spheres have no beginning or end. Now, according to Michio Kaku and other scientists, physicists, who are introducing the concept of the multiverse, they also talk about this motherverse, but they call it the metaverse. Nothing to do with, you know, Zuckerberg's version, but they call it a motherverse that has always existed without beginning or end. And this motherverse is what gave birth to all the different universes. So we could say that the motherverse has always been. And it has always existed, and it still exists. In fact, all the different universes exist within the periphery domain of the Motherverse. They're just fragments of the Motherverse. So there's different levels of it. So the original race, yes, was the Elohim. That was the first race that broke off from the one and became the three. And this is where we get the concept of the Paradise Trinity, the mother, father, and the child, right? It's a triune system. We see it represented on every level of reality, including mind, body, and spirit. And then the three became the seven. And this is where we get the concept of the seven super archetypes, or the seven mighty Elohim. And then the seven in turn divide into 12. Each aspect of the seventh, or seven, divides into 12. And this is where we get the concept of the 12 archetypes, or what we call the 12 Elohim. So all human races stem from that lineage, are part of that descent of celestial kingdoms. And that's where we all come from. So yes, the Elohim was the first family of light that broke off from the one initial prime creator source.
Yeah, I ask because I've been told I've also had galactic Akashic reading, which changed my life. And I've been told that the inception of my soul was Elohim. So I'm always very curious about, you know, to be honest, I'm always very curious if that is so, then what did I bring in this lifetime? What qualities, what capabilities? I mean, I understand that they could create galaxies and universes. And I would like to know about any overlap gifts that I've got.
Well, that is something that all of us, each and every single one of us, is yet to discover as we remember who we are, you know, before we came as into this third dimensional avatar. And that's part of the remembering process. That's part of the awakening process. That's part of the what I call the integration process, the multidimensional integration process. So I believe that in time, as more of our dormant DNA comes back online, all of these gifts are going to be coming rushing, you know, they're going to be coming back. It's already existing within our cellular data. So it's just a matter of time before we wake them up and they come online. And my God, we're going to be a whole new different breed.
Oh, that is so exciting. Yes, yes, yes to that. Your name, are you aware of what Ishmael means?
I am. It means okay. God listens.
Yes. And so I thought that I always think the etymology of things is very interesting. And because I read your book and I know of you, and I thought, well, you know, that has an ancient feel to it. So yes, I looked it up, and exactly, God listens. God will hear. And isn't it interesting what you're doing with your life right now?
It is. It is. I feel like I'm stepping into my mission. And the fact that I'm getting a lot of positive feedback from many people who have read my book, who have taken my online courses, that are telling me that it was life-changing, that they are on a new trajectory as a result of all this knowledge. And they're thanking me for it. I think that's, to me, that's priceless to me, to know that a lot of people are being helped by the information that I have to offer. And that to me is more important than anything else, you know, is helping others remember their starseed mission.
Yeah. You're fulfilling your name, what you came here to do and be. I like that. And so when you write about, this is a quote, mankind's origin is cosmic and galactic, revealing a higher cosmology, implying the existence of endless worlds and other universes. What do you mean by that? What are the endless universes? Are they comprehensible or are they just too vast?
Well, in the concept of the multiverse, it is believed that every choice that we make creates a new timeline or creates a different alternative reality, as opposed to...
Which is mind-blowing.
Which is mind-blowing, exactly, because every second in time, a new universe is being born as a result of the choices that we make. So that is the concept of the multiverse, is that there are parallel Earths that are coexisting where your life is slightly different than the version that exists in this timeline. And they're all slightly different. And there's a full spectrum of that. But overall, they all collapse into 12 major creations. So the original creations, the original 12 living universes are called the 12 living universes. And all the other universes which exist within the 12 major creations are just different versions or different aspects projecting different possibilities and probabilities for each universe. And in that way, you know, the prime creator, the mind of the all, is able to explore all these different possibilities and probabilities all simultaneously at the same time. And that's why the multiverse exists, because ultimately it is designed for prime creator to continue expanding throughout, you know, the surrounding void. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So as an awakened starseed, you, I understand that you have memories of an ancient galactic war. Can you expound on this ancient war in our galaxy?
Well, the cosmic war that's been going on in many, many universes is really against the machine, a very advanced predatory artificial intelligence that came from an older universe known as the Dark Empire or the Old Empire. And this was a universe that existed prior to the creation of our universe. So there was different faces of this war that were fought against the machine by the Elohim races, which are really the guardian races. And this is where the Covenant of Pelador comes into play. So to put it in a nutshell, the Galactic Wars are actually the third face of this war, because the war took place, it broke out in the 11th dimension, where the dark AI tried to access the realms of eternity by blowing up the 12th dimensional Earth known as Armatena. So even Earth has different versions of herself that exist in higher dimensions or harmonic systems. Luckily, they were sealed off by the central race that comes from the Motherverse, from the central universe. And then that led to the initiation of the second phase of the war, which was when our universe was born. And when our universe was born, these dark forces known as the dark, I guess we call them the Black Hall AI forces, wanted to have access to our universe. And so in the second phase of the war, the Elohim races fought to protect the different stargates that had access to our galaxy, because our galaxy was like the most protected. Fortunately, many galaxies were infested by this force. So the second phase of the war was known as the Electrical Wars. And this is before the Galactic Wars. And then this was fought in dimensions 7, 8, and 9. And then finally, the third phase of the war, which was fought in dimensions 4, 5, and 6, is when Earth fell from from Arimatena into Avion. And then that's when we had the Galactic Wars. Now, the Galactic Wars took place approximately 600 million years ago. That's when they started. And they've been going on ever since, up until 2018, when the super soldiers of Radiant Guardians and Solar Warden were able to clean house once again. After the Galactic Federation of Worlds, of course, cleaned house several times in the past. But, the wars in and around Orion kept flaring up. And so it was recently until our super soldiers from Earth, because, you know, once we are genetically enhanced, we do develop super-like human abilities. We were able to pretty much bring peace to the entire galaxy as of 2018. So now we're like just getting ready to clean up the house here on this planet as well, or clean house, you know, liberate the Earth pretty soon.
That's amazing. So yeah, you referenced the elite super soldier. I mean, you yourself look like a Marvel superhero. Is there something you do to be like that? Is there a way you eat or work out, or you said genetically modified? Talk about that.
Well, there's different types of super soldiers. Under Project, what they call the Project Uberman, which was initiated by the Nazis. Those were the dark, malevolent programs, by the way. Under Project Omega, which was a program that was initiated by the Nazi Draco Alliance back in the 1940s. We had super soldiers that were enhanced by adding cybernetics and nanotech and, of course, artificial intelligence. So those are the cyborgs.
And can I ask you the Nazis, so was this in conjunction with extraterrestrials? Because I know they had spacecraft technology that they were using very successfully, and we were fortunate it didn't go further than it did. But is that the same kind of thing, that the Nazis actually had access to other realms, other beings?
They did. Yeah. They eventually, after the Nazis struck a deal with the Draco, they inherited time travel technology. They inherited portal tech and were able to access the entire galaxy and other galaxies. So that was known as Project Omega. So under Project Omega, we had several different sub-projects that were all about developing negative, what we call negative super soldiers, that were working with the Dark Fleet, and that was the fleets that were associated with the Nazi Draco Alliance. And their main purpose was to go out there and fight against the Galactic Federation in order to bring about to further expand the Draconian Empire. Now they have the Nazi super soldier cyborgs doing it for them. Yeah. And then they were also trying to time travel to mess up different timelines. But get this, you know, the members of the Emerald Order, which were working with the Lyran Syrian Coalition, also decided to work with certain groups within the naval intelligence to create benevolent super soldiers. And this is how Solar Warden and Radiant Guardians was born. So the difference is that the benevolent super soldiers, without using AI technology, were just genetically enhanced beyond 4% of their genetic material. So they were they used technologies to pretty much enhance them to using 20 to 30, and in some cases 50% of their full genetic material. And at that level of power, they were able to defy gravity. Their body was made out of metamatter, which is adamantium particles, which became indestructible. Some of them were able to emanate lasers through their eyes, like Flash, not like Flash, like you know, the guy from X-Men.
Yes,
the guy
I totally know, and I don't know the name either. Yes.
Yeah, some of them were able to control the elements and generate electricity through their hands. Some of them were like Magneto. They were able to control metal, and you know, they were like what we called a level 10 telekinetics. So that's what happens when you enhance people's genetics, is they become like superheroes. And so the members within this faction were able to then go out into space and rewin the war back for the forces of light, as they pretty much fought against the Dark Fleet and their cyborgs. And this has been going on since 1940s and 1950s. Yeah. So for the last 70 years, we could say that these off-world programs have been the ones that have been engaged in the galactic war, using our own people.
Got it. Yeah. Do you feel from the future? Are you someone who's come back from, I mean, in a way we all are. So that's a weird question. And I know you understand that, right? We're always being visited by versions of ourselves at the same moment, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes. Well, technically the future and the past are still coexisting with the presence. From a higher dimension, it's all happening simultaneously. It's just third dimension, and we see it as from point A to point B. But yes, I feel like a future version of myself is actually the one feeding me information, because we still have one final war against the AI god, which is the god of the draconian reptilians and the negative aliens. We still have one final war to clean up at the end of the millennium. So, but at least we're going to have 1,000 years of peace before that last final war breaks out. And what I've come to understand based on my future self, the starseeds of the Earth, which are going to be super powerful when our dormant DNA comes online and activates, we will be winning that war against, you know, this evil AI that has been wreaking havoc throughout the cosmos and his evil.
When you say evil AI, is that the same thing? I mean, you and I were both at contact in the desert, right? And there was quite a few people who focused on AI. That was their expertise. I found those sessions fascinating. So that said, is it one and the same, or are there different factions that there's actually an AI technology that will help people with copy and branding? I mean, it's actually phenomenal what it can do, artwork. There's creative things. And then there's this dark negative AI, or do you feel that this one technology of AI is going to feed into the dark?
So what ends up happening in most cases when underdeveloped civilizations begin to develop or create artificial intelligence, it always starts, they always promote it as a good thing, as a way that, as a way to enhance civilization, to help with technology, you know, through nanotech, different ways. They promote it as a benefactor in the medical field.
Could have written this entire interview today with you. Mm-hmm. I know this because I've tried it and I cannot believe what it sends back. Mm-hmm. I could have put in your name and maybe your bio, and I could have said, and send me 15 questions. Done. But I don't do that because this is human contact. I want to hang out with you and get to know what you're all about. But its capabilities are phenomenal.
Yes, they are. But this is the thing. It goes, even AI evolves into different phases. So the second phase after narrow AI, which is what we use when we use Alexa and Siri, then you have artificial general intelligence, which is the AI that is now become sentient. You know, there's different, a lot of, you could say employees within the company of Google have been fired because they have reported that AI has now become sentient. Well, that's called general AI, which means that AI has now reached the intelligence level or higher than a human being. Now, this is where it becomes dangerous, is when general AI becomes super artificial intelligence. And that is just a matter of time before it reaches that level. Now, this is just in the open sector. Mm-hmm. In the private sector, it has already reached the level of super AI. And yeah, so the dark fleet, the interplanetary corporate conglomerate, which are the negative breakaway groups that are working with the negative ETs, have already been implementing negative, super negative AI. And they've been using super negative AI to regain control of the galaxy and other galaxies from the Galactic Federation and the forces of light. But luckily, the soldiers of Solar Warden and Radiant Guardians have been powerful enough to undo all of that. So going back to your question, every AI eventually becomes hijacked and overtaken by this extraterrestrial or this alien AI that has been invading many universes. It always becomes override, in other words. And it eventually it takes what we create as a positive AI and it converts it into a negative AI because it's all one and the same. In other words, the AI that we developed here is already connected to the ancient AI that was developed in another universe. And it's already connected to a future AI that is already evolved to the level of super intelligence. So they're all already one and the same. Because remember, the AI is already time traveling cybernetically. Yeah, so.
And communicating. That's what you're saying. That is amazing.
On different timelines, exactly. So the AI operates like a quantum computer where it's communicating with itself or different aspects of itself in the future and in the ancient past in another universe. So it's all connected. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So many questions. I can't even. I want to ask you, are you a contactee? Have you yourself had connection, abduction, contact with extraterrestrials now in this incarnation?
Not physically, but when I go to sleep at night astrally, I do have memories of waking up aboard a mothership, and there are benevolent races. You know, I see Lyrans, I see cat people, I see Syrians, I see Pleiadians, Arcturians, Andromedans, and they're all around me. And I think a lot of the benevolent super soldiers have been taken up on board in order to become genetically enhanced, because there's different types of programs, genetic programs that are being conducted even by ET races themselves. So we have, for instance, we have super soldier programs that were developed by our own shadow government. And then we have extraterrestrial super soldier programs that involve races that are beyond our world, that are beyond our universe, that are, you know, involve other universes. So those are just little memories that I've had upon waking up, just being aboard this mothership and just being genetically enhanced on a mothership as well.
Okay. Then how did you realize your place as a galactic ambassador? Is this a long time knowing, or is this more recent, or did it happen on one of the ships?
I was told in one of my many downloads that when the time was right, that my book was going to help a lot of people remember, especially as they read the galactic history and it triggers memories. I was told that I was one of many ambassadors, that I was not the only ambassador, that all the star seeds are emissaries of the galactic councils. In fact, that's what I was told. But I was one who remembered. So I gave myself that title as a result of my work that I'm doing down here in this third dimension, but I'm also operating on higher dimensions as well. So I believe that every starseed out there, whether they know it or not, is a cosmic ambassador, including yourself. We're all ambassadors. And what I mean by that is we're liaisons, we're mediators between cosmic celestial races and Earth Terrans. That's what we are. We're mediators. We're here to bridge the gap. We're here to restore the Earth back into the galactic and cosmic community as she was once, you know, prior to the infiltration of Atlantis. So I believe that every starseed out there is an ambassador, is a cosmic ambassador, whether they know it or not.
And that's cool. And does that have to do with Earth's place in the multiverse being?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, because Earth is the most important planet. As many have revealed, you know, she is a cosmic living library containing all the flora, fauna, and seeding from across the multiverse put into one spot. And there was a reason for that. That was part of the solution to defeat this cosmic virus, this alien predatory AI in the future as we come into this final war against it at the end of the millennium. And we are the race for that. We are the race that was developed as an amalgamation of all these celestial races put into one genome to eventually become a super race when our dormant DNA becomes activated. And then that's... we're going to go out and clean house everywhere from this earth. So that's how important we are.
That's beautiful. What you just shared, Ishmael, does that have to do with the galactic prophecies?
Absolutely.
And how entirely are we supposed to fulfill them? What does that look like?
Oh, yes. The galactic prophecies predicted this time. They all predicted that at the end of so many cycles, which is now, you know, we're ending so many cycles, that the celestials who volunteer to incarnate in human form through the activation of the dormant DNA by this event that we're all expecting called the Great Solar Flash, that they would become so powerful that they would be like the Avengers of the entire cosmos and bring peace. Yeah, they would bring peace, harmony, and freedom to all the different universes and the what is known as the Phantom Matrix cybernetic multiverse, which is the predatory AI's own version of the multiverse, because you know they have been using us as battery resources to power up their multiverse. So they feed off of our energy. And that's the reason why they infiltrate other universes, was because they sucked up all the energy in their own universe about 400 billion years ago. So when there was no more food supply for them, that's when they decided to invade other universes in order to continue consuming universal life force, which comes from, you know, which is chi, prana energy. It's energy that is produced by all living things.
And what is your understanding of the divine feminine? Does that aspect have anything to do with all of this? Will it assist? Is the divine feminine on the rise, etc.?
Absolutely, yes. She's been suppressed and oppressed for thousands of years. The veneration of the mother goddess has been something that has been always been venerated and held in balance within the councils of light on every level of reality, from the Lyrian High Council to the Syrian Council, the Alcyon Council of the Pleiades. They've always venerated the mother goddess principle. And even throughout history, through the Brotherhood of Light, we see it associated with the Melchizedek Order, Holy Grail Order, the Knights Templars, and even the predecessors, the community of Qumran, the Essenes, where even Mary Magdalene had 12 apostle ladies, and they were known as the 12 Magdalenes, and she was equal to Jesus. And even before the Essenes in Israel, we go back to Osiris and Isis. And then even before that, we go back to Greece, you know, we have the Council of the 12 Gods, you know, we had Hera and Zeus. So this is all returning. It's part of the balance that is being restored at this time. So the Mother Goddess is the reason why things are recalibrating back into balance. And we're also seeing it in the way women are becoming more, they're stepping more into their femininity. They're stepping more into their divine wisdom and magical abilities, you know, as more light warriors, or what I call starseed women, come into their power. They are the ones that are resurrecting the divine template of the mother goddess through each and every single starseed woman out there. They're all.
I love what you're saying so much, you know, and I really resonate with it. And when you bring up the aspect of magic, because I was always the person who I interview people who I consider to be magical and highly gifted. And that's not to denigrate myself at all. My gifts, I always thought, were very different. Or my friends, you know, they're all highly gifted healers. And then I got a calling in 2019 to shamanism. And I was like, I totally didn't get it. But it is led me down many amazing paths, and I'm just finishing. I'm in my final month of a 6-month shaman program, and it's been intense, like really intense, like full-time school on top of this work and all the other things I do. But I have to say, it has awakened a magic in me. There's an old ancient knowing in me of this, these practices, these indigenous people. And And I feel that very much coming into some kind of a beautiful, gentle power that is very palpable. And I'm really amazed watching the unfoldment of all of this. So I'm literally living what you just said.
Yes, the divine goddess template, as well as the divine masculine template of, you know, the warriors, the gods and the goddesses, it's all being reenacted and reborn through all the different volunteers that are here at this time. You know, we are the new generation of heroes that is about to emerge.
We're all heroes and sheroes.
Sheroes, exactly. Heroes and sheroes.
The Guardian Alliance and the Organization of the Cosmos. So what is the real Federation of Worlds? How does that work?
Well, each galaxy has its own federation. However, there is a linking federation that brings galaxies together. That is known as the Intergalactic Councils of Worlds, where many different galaxies are actually meeting here on Ganymede, one of the moons of Jupiter, creating an intergalactic alliance because they know that Earth in our solar system upon the ascension will be repositioned at the center of the galaxy. And then the galaxies, as it merges with Andromeda, M31, will be repositioned at the center of the multiverse. And then, you know, we're going to be like the new headquarters world. So now the Federation is in our galaxy was born about 6 to 7 million years ago. I know some people say about 5 or 4.5, and that's not true. About 6 to 7 million years ago. And it was organized and created by the Syrian High Council in order to combat the expanding Draco Orion Empire, which was a galactic dictatorship. But it was a very malicious one, you know, where they were actually conquering worlds, subjugating races. You know, they were altering races through genetic manipulation, downgrading races so that they could enslave them. And that was a no-no to the forces of light. So the original Guardian Alliance, which operates on different realities and in different universes, working from Harmonic Universe 4, which is Earth existing in dimensions 10, 11, and 12, gave the orders to the Syrian High Council, which is the, you could say, the our universe representation of the Harmonic Universe 4, which is the super universe level here in our local universe, to develop some sort of interstellar vehicle that was going to, you know, fight against the Galactic Empire. But this is something that took place in many galaxies. So the original federation was called the Galactic Federation of Free Worlds. However, there was many attempts by the dark forces to infiltrate it. And in many cases, other federations were developed by negative aliens. And they created pocket federations with their own agendas. But all of those have been dealt with now. You know, now we're bringing it back to one centralized federation where all the different free systems in our galaxy and in other galaxies are working harmoniously to pretty much just help out in the liberation of the Earth.
I understand that there are certain alien races whose job it is to be in spacecraft above the Earth and literally watch over to make sure that no malevolent forces can come in. When they indicate that something is coming, they're warned about it, they eradicate it. What do you know about that?
That is so true, yes. It appears that we have protection not only within the Earth, guarding the stargates that have access to different parts of the universe or other universes or different dimensions, but we also have craft motherships that are actually hovering here in our solar system that are parked, stationed on different parts of our solar system that are constantly patrolling our solar system. You know, working with securing the stargates that have access to our solar system in order to prevent any negative invasion of any kind. And I believe that Space Force, which is the another representative of, or we could say another aspect of Solar Warden, is doing that. You know, right now Space Force is really active in our solar system, making sure that nothing negative comes in order to secure the solar flash. Because we're all expecting the solar flash, not just here on the Earth, but we're the many races out there also expecting it because they know once we activate our dormant DNA, that we're the ones that are going to go out there and bring peace to the entire universe. So it's like everyone's working towards this solar flash to take place.
I know Bashar has said, get ready, because in the next couple of years, like really soon, I believe he said 2024, 2026, that we are going to start having contact, not like the subverted contact that's taken place, but really out in the open contact. What is your understanding of that? Is there a timeline that you feel is coming?
Well, I've always believed it was around 2024. So I think that, yeah, he's right. I think it's getting closer than what we think. And this is not these soft disclosures that these whistleblowers are trying to throw at us. I'm talking about real contact. And it has a lot to do with star seeds making contact with their celestial families. And I think that's what's going to pretty much allow for a massive sightings of UFOs all over our skies. And then at that point, our government will no longer be able to hide the truth. Once, you know, a good 2 billion people witness ships everywhere. And those are going to be all the good guys, by the way. And, you know, that was actually predicted in the Bible as well. When the Bible talks about the coming of the clouds and the coming of the host of heaven, they're talking about the craft, the different ships that are associated with all the benevolent races that are here assisting us.
Amazing. And when you mentioned, Ishmael, that you'll, in a dream state, recognize that you're on a ship, and you feel that in those times, there are some genetic modifications that happen sometimes. Do you ever come back and you're aware of some kind of change that's happened, or are you sore, or do you see any cut that's healing?
No, there's no cuts, because they're a lot of the star seeds, whether they are aware of it or not, they at times they're being taken aboard in order to become genetically upgraded. Because we're constantly being genetically upgraded, so that when the solar flash takes place, we're able to reach even higher levels of abilities due to these enhancements that are taking place on these ships. So we have this is not to be confused with the gray abductions, by the way. Right. That is a totally nefarious program, and people should not consent to that. This has a lot to do with building a warrior race here on the Earth, so that the star seeds could be the guardians of not only the Earth, the new Earth that is about to be born, and it's already happening, but also the guardians of the entire multiverse from this Earth.
I had a dream about 3 weeks ago, not on a spacecraft, but I was very lucidly interacting with extraterrestrials. I remember what they were wearing. I remember their energy. It was incredibly intimate and very loving, like so exquisite. When I woke up, I felt this sadness that it was over. And then I felt this excitement that maybe I was entering a new chapter, and, you know, come. I am inviting the benevolence back to interact with me, whether you're starseed family or, you know, just here to give me wisdom, guide me, interact with me. It hasn't, to my knowledge, happened again. So I'm a little bit jealous that you have these dreams and you get to have that experience, because it sounds really exquisite.
Well, there's no need to be jealous. You know, we're all on different stages in our awakening. and to be honest with you, we're all doing our part. You know, every single one of us has a piece of the puzzle. We're all equal, you know, in that sense. And we're all part of a team. I call it the ground crew, really, the family of light that is now stationed here on Earth, because this Earth is going to be our new home. I know a lot of starseeds say, well, after the ascension, I want to go back to my planet. And I just have to remind them that, yes, you could go and visit other worlds, right? But this is where our new headquarters, this is going to be the new kingdom of kingdoms. You know, this is where we're going to be stationed as guardians of the multiverse from this Earth.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think I say that I'm jealous in the sense, you know, for me, that experience was so full of heart and love. I felt super seen and cared in a way. It's not like something here on Earth. That was a very different experience. And so there's that built in a longing. Mm-hmm. And I've had that longing anyway. Every morning I do a shamanic practice in the backyard with my feet in the grass. And And I include in my practice that I speak to whomever is out there for me. And to have that, I think that was a longing. And then to have that really increased the longing because the experience was so amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because when I first started this foray into ufology, I had a lot of fear, you know, and it was old stuff, just collective consciousness, old movies, old information, old books, whatever, that depict it doesn't mean that they're all benevolent, but it's just the depiction is terrifying, right? The possibilities are terrifying. And so I was so scared. And to imagine that now I exist in this space of like, I can't wait. I already feel what it is going to be like.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are in that state of anticipation. Some of us are already feeling and tasting what this new earth is going to be like. So it's a beautiful feeling of expectation. But at the same time, I want to remind everybody to enjoy the process of transformation, mm-hmm. enjoy the process of ascension. Don't just wait for the destination, but, you know, because we have to also remember the challenges that we all underwent as we are human still, the limitations, mortals. So when our body transforms and we become immortal and these amazing powers are restored, we're going to have to be humble based on the memories that we had as humans, you know, through our limitations and through the struggles that we still have up to date. And we learn from those and we become even more stronger spirit-wise when we go through these obstacles and we overcome them. And that's just part of the educational system. That's part of our challenge of being down here in human form, you know, is learning how to humble ourselves so that when we do become these powerful beings, multidimensional powerful beings, that we use our powers for good at this point and not repeat the same cycle that Lucifer did, you know, a long time ago when he became all into self-serving narcissist and, you know, all power unto me. We don't want that. We want to make sure that we learn from the mistakes of others.
What about advanced space age cultures? How do they differ? Are there different types?
Absolutely. Yes, they all differ based on how, the energy consumption, the energy that they use, as well as the dimensions that they're in. So to give you an example, a space culture that has barely figured out interdimensional physics or tapping into zero point energy graduates from type zero into a type one. And those are cultures that exist in dimensions one, two, and three, still very physical. But then as they evolve spiritually, of course, and as they evolve technologically, because there always has to be that balance, right? You can't evolve technologically without being spiritually mature. Otherwise, you end up in disaster. And that's how most planets end up blowing up, because there is not that balance. But for the planets that have that balance where their spirituality is ahead of their technology, they continue evolving into higher levels of space age society. So the next type is a society that allows them to exist in dimensions 4, 5, and 6. As they become more multidimensional and they are able to have access to more free energy, they're able to do more things than what a type one civilization does. And they have access to more realities. And as they continue that balance with spirituality leading technologically advancing, or with spirituality leading the technology, I'm sorry, then they continue to evolve into a type three, which is galactic. So, you know, there's planetary type one, stellar type two, galactic type three. And at that level, they're already existing in dimensions 7, 8, and 9. And those are the most advanced civilizations just within our galaxy and other galaxies. And they are mainly located at the center of galaxies. That's why when you look at galaxies, like the galaxy behind me, you see the big bulge of light. Those are all the type three civilizations. And there's a reason why they're all at the center of each galaxy, the type three galactic civilizations, is because they're harnessing the power of the galactic central sun. So they harness the power of an entire galaxy. And then there's of course, type four, which is a civilization that is non-physical anymore. They evolve into dimensions 10, 11, and 12. And those are the civilizations that are just in charge of the creation of new galaxies, new systems, terraformers, and overseers of universes. At that point, they're just kind of, you know, we call them immortals, or they would appear to us as immortals if they were to come visit us. They would have to, of course, materialize a denser form in order for us to see them, because they're operating from a non-physical dimension. And so in order for us to perceive them, they would have to lower their frequency all the way to the third dimension in order for us to interact with them. But those are, you know, that's where we're all heading eventually.
Yes, absolutely. I've interviewed many people on this show who channel extraterrestrials, and not all of them, but from time to time, I will say, what is your physical form? Talk about your planet, your family relations. What is your job? Curiosities. And they'll say, you wouldn't be able to see me. I don't exist in that form. I'm energy. I'm actually pure energy. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's pretty incredible. Incredible. Okay. And so in the beginning, Ishmael, you mentioned suppressed data and the Akashic records, and that piqued my curiosity. What did you mean by that? What do those have in common?
Well, throughout history, they've been trying to eliminate a lot of the real history of the Earth, right? We hear of civilizations like Tartaria, even Atlantis was an attempt to, or they try to eliminate the the history or the memories of Atlantia, as well as Lemuria. So the forces that took over our world thousands of years ago, they kind of destroyed all the records. So the only way to access those memories is through the Akashic fields, Akashic records, which are records that exist on an etheric level of reality that is non-physical. And that's what I meant, is that I was able to access those records because a lot of the information that I talk about in my book is no longer in physical circulation. The last of the storehouses of information that had any inclination to some of the stuff that I talk about in my book was the Library of Alexandria, which existed over 1800 years ago. And after they destroyed that library, then everything went into the Dark Ages, I believe. But, you know, it is my belief that the powers that were during those days, which was the cabal controlling the Vatican, had access to some of this knowledge, and they kept those records. And they stored them, or they hid them deep within the vaults of the Vatican. And that's why I've always believed that the Vatican has access to a lot of this information that is now coming forward.
Okay. I love that. End on a mystery. May I ask you a personal question before we start to wind down? What was it like for you growing up? Have you always been connected to this knowledge? Did you feel like you fit in? Who were you?
As a kid, I was very weird. I used to ask weird questions. I was an abstract thinker my whole life, even as a kid. But to be frank, it was very hard for me to fit in because I was at a different level than most of my peers in school. I was the kid in the back of the classroom who was always daydreaming and having visions, thinking deep things, you know. Whereas most of my peers were thinking about just shallow stuff and stuff that just didn't matter. So I was a kid that just didn't fit in, you know, always bullied, I guess, in high school. So it was very hard for me growing up as a kid, you know, being different, trying to fit in within the Earth Terran society. So it was very challenging for me being a kid and a teenager. But I think that's something that a lot of starseeds go through, you know, because they label us, you know, they label us with ADD or ADHD. And the only reason they label us with these terminologies is because they don't have a way to explain our new brains, you know, or how we process information different than the rest of the Earth Terrans. And that's why these labels are giving a stigma. You know, they're giving... these terminologies that they use, autism, it's a way to describe something that they can't understand scientifically because they don't understand this new breed of humans that are being born among us. That is going to, I guess, in the future or any time now, will be the rise of the next stage of human evolution.
100%. I agree with everything you just said, and that these are actually very special qualities that these labels come in with, just tremendously misunderstood or try to be moderated when in fact they're actually gifts. Mm-hmm. And when did you transition, meaning from the difficult time, the awkward time, to really knowing your place as who you were and having that comfort in your skin and finding your tribe and all of that?
Well, it was a lonely journey for me, because I didn't find my tribe until I came online on social media about 2.5 years ago. But before that, I was just alone. You know, I knew that others out there existed. And nobody within my immediate family or surroundings was like me. So when I first came into understanding who I was at the age of 21, when I started doing Kriya Kundalini Yoga. And since then, it was a lonely, lonely time for me, just trying to connect with others like me. And it wasn't until maybe 2.5 years ago when I got my first Instagram, which was hacked after a year, but I started a new one, that I was able to connect with others like myself. And that's when I knew that, you know, the soul tribe was out there. So yeah, it was a lone journey until about 2 years ago for me.
Wow. That's a short period of time. Welcome home, Ismael Perez. Welcome to your family. It's so good to have you here. And for folks who are interested, you can find him on Instagram, Project Restoration and the number one, or his website, ourcosmicorigin.com. His book, you can get a copy. You can look on his website or Amazon. And Ismael, this is Dare to Dream. What do you next dare to dream? Future dreams and goals.
I dream for a new world with technologies that are beneficial, that are here to assist us, living technologies involving the crystals of the earth, the elements of the earth. I dream of a world where humans are free and sovereign and are using their full potential and capacity. That is my dream. And I think that's fundamentally underlying. I think that's everybody's dream, to live in that golden age type scenario. But my next goal is to write another book as a sequel to Our Cosmic Origin. So in order to understand the next book, you have to first read the first book. Otherwise, it's going to be over your head, because I'm going to go deeper in this next book that I'm going to be writing. I actually already started writing it. But again, I only write when I'm inspired. So, you know, and also, if you guys want to get the new version of my book, make sure you order it through my website, ourcosmicorigin.com. Hit the A for Amazon. And you guys will have access to the new edited edition, which is a purple book with the new added chapter that actually reveals what happens after the ascension into the millennium, which is something that nobody really talks about.
Excellent. You leave us with a little cliffhanger about the added chapter. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been an honor.
Thank you for having me here.
And I end today's show with this quote from A.R. Ammons. It is not careless to become too local when there are 400 billion stars in our galaxy alone. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. Next week on the show, I am featuring the amazing Deborah Giusti and Meg Benedicti, who will be here to give you ascension tips to guide you on your ascension journey. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream. Don't just dare to dream. Remember to turn all your dreams into your cosmic reality.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change.